always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
And you turned the microphone on in a very unfortunate place there.
Right on time.
Welcome back to Columbo and Katie on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL.
Not the drum.
Boy, you.
Not the drum.
I'll tell you what. You nailed it at the beginning of the show. I hadn't paid attention to the details of the pictures and the videos coming in. About the atmosphere. It is. It's like the music festival atmosphere.
They have talismans hanging up like you would at a music. Like, they have vendors set up. They have people doing art. They have people doing artwork with chalk. Chalk artwork. Get a grip on reality, folks.
There's people like with like drum kits.
Drum kits.
Just like standing percussion. Like playing just like.
Having bongos music. Out there.
Yeah, it is. It looks like a music festival. We're talking about the protests happening across the country. I think that was that Columbia or NYU we're just looking at? I can't even.
I think that was
they're
NYU.
They're all the freaking same.
That was right NYU.
Now. Yeah. Really got into the protest issue in the 2 o'clock hour. If you missed any of that with our buddy Crane Durham from nothingbuttruth.com. Make sure you are subscribed to our podcast so you never miss anything that happens here on the show. We put the show out as a podcast right after we get off the air every day. And it's the best way to make sure that you never miss anything that happens here on Columbo and Katie. We put it on every podcast platform. So whatever your favorite podcast platform is, just make sure you're subscribed to Columbo and Katie. All right. Switching away from the protests and back to the division happening within the Republican Party. Donald Trump. It spoke about the protests and laid the blame about what's happening across the country squarely at the feet of Joe Biden. Of course, he's in full-blown election mode, campaign mode right now. And I think the former president is realizing how this is not the time for division within the party. And he actually came out today to defend Speaker Mike Johnson, even as Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is one of his biggest supporters in Congress, continues to push for the speaker's removal. So Donald Trump came to the aid of House Speaker Mike Johnson last night during an interview. He was asked about the situation, about the removal, the possible removal of Speaker Johnson, and he said, quote, "Well, look, we have a majority of one, okay? It's not like he can go and do whatever he wants. I think he's a very good person. You know, he stood very strongly with me on NATO when I said NATO has to pay up. It's a tough situation. I think he's a very good man. I think he's trying very hard. Again, we've got a big election. We've got to elect some people in Congress. Much more than we have right now. We have to elect good senators, get rid of some of the ones that we have now, like Romney and others. And we have to have a big day, and we have to win the presidency. If we don't win the presidency, I'm telling you, I think our country could be finished. We are absolutely a country in decline." So he comes to the aid of Speaker Johnson, but obviously, the main point is the election and winning the election and increasing the majority for the Republicans in the House and getting the majority in the Senate. And I think that Donald Trump and I think many others also are afraid that with all of this, these terrible optics, this terrible situation, the condition of the country that has been brought on by Joe Biden and the Democrats could all get distracted from, or they could get away with it if the Republicans continue to and take down the
very smart move by Donald. Now, if you listen to Rob Carter's show, he has many. We should start Mike Johnson, mm-hmm. his speakership, all of that. But to me, I think we do need to have a united front, because let the infighting happen whenever. I hate to like this, but whenever we have
there's a time for it,
when there's a good time, when we have a little that the team could go away with a snap of a finger if we have a different president. And I think we need to focus on those bad things, keep our energy towards those things, and how do we fix them? How do we make them better? Instead of having these conversations about Mike Johnson that right now are probably important, but seem to me a little bit irrelevant when we have pro-Hamas protesters saying, I am Hamas.
What if this was the approach? Would you be for or against something like this? Because I would never tell an elected official, you know, somebody who has strong beliefs about something, to just shut up and fall in line. I think that
right.
shutting up and falling in line has created a lot of problems over the years. And, you know, obviously a lot of actions are taken for personal reasons or monetary reasons, but when somebody has a genuine concern or issue with leadership or anything else, I would never tell them to just, you know, hey, it's not a good time. However, I would say that maybe one step at a time. How about we focus on taking back the Senate? If I'm speaking as the Republican leadership, or, you know, the people that are behind this movement,
mm-hmm.
let's focus on taking back the Senate, taking back the White House, and expanding our majority in the House. And then once we have that, and we have more control over everything, and hopefully bring in more and new voices to the party, then we will address them. Once we have the power, then we'll address our own issues.
Yeah.
And so it's one step at a time. Win the election, win back majority, and then clean up our house so we're ready to go as a united front for the next 2 or 4 years after the election.
I agree with
Instead
that.
Instead of doing it
now,
so publicly now.
I agree with that approach. And I think that you're right in saying, I don't want anyone to fall in line. I would never ask Marjorie Taylor Greene. I would never ask Donald Trump if he feels some type of way about Mike Johnson. But I do think that there is an appropriate place and time. I do think that those things need to take place when our house is in order. And when chaos, because even if you have the right reasons, like Marjorie Taylor Greene believes she has, even if you have the right feeling in your gut and you're doing it for your constituents in the right way, it all doesn't matter if you lose the election.
Right.
None of it matters if we go to hell in a handbasket, because mm-hmm. optically we looked like we didn't have our S together, and the American public felt that way. And they said, ooh, I don't like what the Republicans are doing to each other. It feels like they could win the game, but instead they're tripping each other on the field.
Yeah.
At their own teammates.
Yeah.
So why would I do that? It's the optics and the feeling of the American public, I don't think would be in line with being like, let's also try to boot the speaker while we're at
and
it.
And if you're mad at, if you don't like the direction that Mike Johnson is taking the country, but because of that issue, you hand it to Hakeem Jeffries.
Yeah, we're in big trouble.
Yeah, I mean, that's a nightmare. That's a nightmare.
Yeah.
If with Joe Biden in the White House and Chuck Schumer running the Senate, if Hakeem Jeffries were to become Speaker of the House, You think things are bad now? I mean, holy moly.
Can you believe Donald Trump is going to be the person that's that might be bringing Mike Johnson and Marjorie Taylor Greene to the same point to say, let's get along?
Yeah, so this is going to be super interesting to see what happens over the course of the next few days, because Marjorie Taylor Greene is Captain Trump, right? Like,
for sure.
Like, she is president of the fan club.
She is the captain of the Trump train.
She called on Johnson to resign after the House passed a $95 billion foreign aid package that includes $61 billion for Ukraine, and she has threatened to move on, you know, to ousting the speaker. And she doubled down on that statement just 2 days ago over the weekend on Sunday. She said during an interview, quote, Mike Johnson's leadership is over. He needs to do the right thing to resign and allow us to move forward in a controlled process. If he doesn't do so, he will be vacated. Republicans, including Thomas Massie and Paul Gosar, have voiced support for Green's motion to vacate Johnson. So she said that on Sunday. Double down. She said the words, his leadership is over. He will be vacated. She says that on Sunday. Donald Trump, on Monday, yesterday, comes to the defense of Speaker Johnson. So now, either Marjorie Taylor Greene stays on track and for the first time is in direct opposition of Donald Trump, or she changes her mind because of her support for Donald Trump. And now she's a total hypocrite because she just said on Sunday, his leadership is over. He will be vacated. Mm. So it's going to be real interesting to see what happens over the next few days, specifically with Marjorie Taylor Greene. Thomas Massey's, you know, he's kind of got different. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's on the side of getting rid of Mike Johnson, but for some of the same and some different reasons than Marjorie Taylor Greene. So, you know, they're not necessarily in lockstep, although they are on the same side of the issue. But yeah, it's going to be really interesting because she's either going to have to speak out against Donald Trump. And I don't think I've ever seen her. Have you ever seen her ever say anything?
No. I don't think I've ever seen her without her MAGA hat on.
Right. Right? So she's either she's going to have to do a 180, and that's never a good look. The old flip-flop is never a good look.
Who would have thought that Mike Johnson would cause... I'm thinking that the majority of this pain against Mike Johnson is because of the aid that he said he was trying to get for Ukraine. But it still is interesting to see how much backlash someone like Mike Johnson is receiving from so many Republicans. And again, I say, he's still in the infancy of his speakership.
Right.
It's still new. And we all have a pass, I think, in life. I'm not saying that Mike Johnson is my favorite speaker ever.
Right.
But I think we should probably give him a little time.
Some of it is his own fault. My biggest issue with Speaker Johnson is the border situation.
Yeah.
Going in at the end of last year, going into the holidays, he issued the big ultimatum and said, the House will not pass any of your funding for any of these wars unless you have, unless you present real policy change at the border. And it was like, it was an ultimatum.
Black and white.
Hell, he's passed all of these funding bills for these wars, and Joe Biden has done nothing. Didn't even submit like a BS plan that at least Mike Johnson could say, well, they did send me something and we are working on it. Like, just ignored the ultimatum and just rolled right over the top of Mike Johnson. Yeah. I mean, optically and from the opinion of some. It depends, you know, everybody can make their own political case to make excuses or defend in almost any position. But that's what happened.
Maybe that's one of the great issues too, is like, don't try to be the tough guy if you're not going to be the tough guy.
Don't ever.
Don't try to
issue
be
an ultimatum. Ultimatums
on the chest.
Are, yeah. And ultimatums are, they rarely work out.
Yeah.
For politicians, because you almost never get everything that you want. And when you don't, you look like a hypocrite or a pushover if you negotiate or you don't get everything after saying it's all or nothing.
And not a good luck.
It never works out.
The fake tough guy. The fake tough guy, not a good look.
Yeah. Never works out. All right. Switching issues again in just a moment. Remember Jillian Michaels, the celebrity trainer?
Yeah, I do.
Back in the news. We haven't talked about the latest women's sports trans controversy. This, the high school with the shot putter that the championship track meet. A bunch of girls refused to compete because one of the schools had a boy mm-hmm. on the girls' track team. And it's created some, it's, you know, put the issue back at the top of the headlines. And Jillian Michaels was doing an interview earlier today specifically about that situation and, you know, addressed it and brought all of this back into the headlines. And I think it's important. So we are going to talk about that next on Columbo and Katie. I hear everyone I've
ever thought is here within these walls. For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Welcome back to Columbo and Katie on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. Man, we've been in it today.
Oh yeah,
this is just this week. It's only Tuesday, and it already feels like there is just so much happening. Again, a perfect reminder to make sure you're subscribed to our podcast so you never miss any of the great conversations that we have here on the show. We put the show out as a podcast right after we get off the air every day on every podcast platform. So wherever you listen to podcasts, make sure you're subscribed to Columbo and Katie. Also, don't forget about our various social media platforms, News Talk STL on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube, while supplies last. And on Rumble, which I think is the, it's really great to see. Rumble, I think, has been, you would know better than I would, Katie, but there's been a lot of social media platforms that have tried to present a option to Facebook, mm-hmm. Twitter, and YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Rumble has made the most inroads.
Oh my gosh,
shown the most growth.
Huge growth.
And I think that that's wonderful.
And it's amazing. And luckily enough, smart people invested into Rumble to make it a good investment.
Yeah.
And it has done so much for the community that has really been silenced for a really long time on these major platforms.
So I mentioned Jillian Michaels just a moment ago when I was talking about the story that we're about to talk about. And just now at the break, I was asking Katie, I was trying to remember, because Jillian Michaels used to be red hot. Mm-hmm. She was on television. She was everywhere. And I remembered she went through some kind of, you know, boycott, cancel, politically incorrect deal. But I couldn't remember what it was. Like, what was it that, like, did it to her? And it was basically like she was famous for being a celebrity trainer.
Yeah.
And for, like, The Biggest Loser,
right.
The television show. And so her whole life is about diet and fitness. And she basically said, it's okay to call fat people fat.
Yeah.
Because if you don't confront your problems, if you say it's okay to be unhealthy and, you know, you're not promoting an unhealthy lifestyle. You're leading to their early demise if you don't help them. And that's what got her. That's basically what got her canceled. And then you think, like, right now in this world, there are people protesting on the side of literal terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
And they're being celebrated. And whatever it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you could get canceled just for saying it's okay to, if somebody's fat, to say, hey, you're fat and you should not, you should do something about it.
From a like, trainer. From a trainer.
Whose job it is to make you healthier and make you be in better shape.
Whole life.
And if you don't want to hear that, then you don't have to go to the trainer.
Yeah. You don't have to go on the
business. But if you're going to, if you're going to listen to what a trainer has to say, then they're pretty much their obligation.
It's going to be like going to the physician and them saying, got to lose a little weight.
Can you imagine being canceled for that and then looking at the television and going,
no,
these people are endorsing the killing of women and babies.
The crazy train.
And they're not canceled. Anyway, I just thought that was, every now and then, I think it's important to kind of look back just to remind ourselves just how far we've gone off the crazy meter. Anyway, Jillian Michaels says that evidence is irrefutable that trans athletes should not be competing against girls. This is the latest person to speak out on the side of common sense. Celebrity fitness trainer Jillian Michaels spoke out today in favor of fairness in women's sports after several middle school students, I said high school earlier, I apologize for that, middle school students in West Virginia staged a protest against one of their competitors, a biological male. During an interview this morning, Michaels argued that data supporting men's strength as superior to women is irrefutable, even when accounting for cross-sex hormone therapy. She said, quote, you've got two competing goals in sports. One is inclusion, which everybody can understand and get on board with. However, the second goal that's in direct opposition with inclusion in this instance is going to be a fair competition. And if that's your priority, if you are overriding priority is going to be fairness over inclusion, you've got to turn to the data. And the data irrefutably shows that biological males are 10 to 30% stronger, faster, have better endurance, better aerobic capacity across the board than females. This comes after, again, at least five middle school girls refused to compete at a championship track meet last week after a transgender female, a boy, won the shot put competition by 3 feet. That is
nuts.
That is in shot put. That is a mile.
A stark difference.
That is a mile. That means nobody, none of the girls, the real girls, came anywhere close. This was 13-year-olds. My daughter is 13. This 13-year-old won the competition despite five of the competitors refusing to throw the shot put, refused to compete in protest of this boy's participation. Good for them, by the way.
I think it's incredible for them.
Which is, but you know what, though? They had to, you know, those girls work their butts off. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they are strong. Mm-hmm. Like, it's hard to get in that great a shape. That's a lot of dedication only to get to the championship meet and be put in. A 13-year-old girl who's sacrificed and worked to be competing in the championship meet, then to only have two options. One, compete against somebody who is superior, stronger than you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no amount of work or sacrifice that you can do. It's just completely unfair. So compete in an unfair championship meet or refuse to. And then, you know, all of that hard work that you worked for all season, it is the parents and the schools and the officials that put that on these 13-year-old athletes, that those were their only two options, should just be absolutely ashamed of themselves.
It just goes back to the conversation over and over and over again. Adults need to be adults. The parents need to step up and be parents. Like, we are we're taking away opportunities from young women now, from 13-year-old girls, because as you just said, and I think it's such a perfect... We're taking childhood away from these 13-year-old girls because we're not allowing them to just do what they love and be comfortable and be able to be playing with other girls their same age to compete in that way. Mm-hmm. We're taking away their passion, mm-hmm. their drive, mm-hmm. and their motivation to keep going.
Yep.
At 13 years old, these things are being stripped. That's not drama. That's not hyperbole. That is a 13-year-old girl walking away from something that she loves, saying, I will not participate in this, because adults couldn't make the decision enough to say, let's not intertwine. Let's not intermingle. That's on the adults for allowing this to happen.
Yeah.
And now the 13-year-old girl has to pay that price.
Yep.
So sad.
You know what? We will be one of the places that will not stop talking about this issue. Will not stop fighting for it.
No.
It's very personal to me, being the father of two daughters, one who is a very accomplished athlete, who's got a long, if she wants to stick with it, at least has a long, a very promising career, athletic career in front of her. And I think you also have personal reasons to endorse women's rights.
Yeah, just a little bit. Tiny bit.
I want to do a quick positive story here that came out of New York that didn't even, it barely cracked the headlines because of all the negative stuff. Remember me telling you about Paul Johnson, the Navy officer that ran across the United States?
Yeah, I do.
He ran through St. Louis a couple weeks ago, and we went and saw him. And my son and my wife got on, were featured on his Instagram channel because James gave him some candy and had made a sign for him, and there were people running with him as he went through. He finished over the weekend on Sunday. He finished his run from, he ran from LA to New York.
Whoa.
He raised over $500,000. I don't even know where it ended up. It could have been even more. But as of Sunday, when he was finishing up, it was at $500,000 raised for veterans charities. He is a active member of the Navy, and it took him 51 or 52 days. He ran. He was running some days like 65 miles a day.
Wow.
For days in a row to go from L.A. to New York, and he wrapped up his race, and it was cool to get to see him in person and just be a small part of that. And
so cool.
Yeah, he was on the Today Show. He got some national press
media,
but you know, the good news never makes it.
God, I can't believe you already finished.
Yeah,
that is so crazy.
What's
to think
nuts
about that
is that he did it in, like I said, 50 something days. And when he first was making this plan, he was going to try to set the world record. The world record is like 40 days.
Oh,
he didn't even come
gosh.
Close. He ran across the United States and only took him 50 days. And it still didn't even come close to the record.
What's the number he ran a day, you said?
Some days between like 65 miles a day.
That's chilling.
He had good days and bad days.
That's chilling to me to think about somebody running.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, not nonstop, but just running for 65 miles a day. I am like...
Yeah.
What?
Days and days and days
in
a row.
How does your heart keep going?
I don't know. I can't run down the hall.
Me either.
Without... getting lightheaded.
Gasping for air.
One last quick report. I will try to take a picture of him tonight. I planted some grass over the weekend, so I've been out watering the grass a little bit. I am pretty sure that I saw cicada holes.
Barf.
At the base of our tree.
You got to take a picture.
It was last night. It was dark, so I couldn't get... I'll try to get a daylight picture and see if the cicadas are indeed...
You saw the cicada holes.
Maybe days away. Yeah, pencil-sized holes at the base of trees. That's what you're supposed to look for. That's one of the big signs that they're about ready to make their appearance.
Here they come.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps about to make their appearance. Columbo and Katie, we will be back tomorrow at 2. Keep it here for the O'Reilly Report next. Then the Tim Jones and Chris Arps Show at 4 o'clock here on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.